All right, but and welcome to the Loony Witch podcast with me, Kat.
And me, Amy, and happy full moon. Today, when you're listening, it's the snow moon, which represents when the snow is at its deepest. And it also represents a time to come out of our hibernation and rest, and a time when our intentions for the year begin to manifest. So all good with this full moon, everyone.
Yeah, it's a very promising full moon. So how was your in bulk, Amy? We spoke about in bulk last time.
Yeah, it was chilled, actually. I did a bit of baking, a bit of manifesting, had a nice walk, did some cleansing, nothing too strenuous, nice and chilled. How about yours?
Mine was, I had a day off on in bulk, but because of that, I had quite a bit to drink the night before, but then I also went for a sea swim, which was very, it was transformative. It was wonderful. And then spent a lot of the day in bed, which was lovely. Nice treat. Got up, went out and got the stuff to make the St. Bridget's cross, which you can see a lovely video of me making if you check out our Instagram.
Oh, I really enjoyed making mine. I find it really relaxing.
Yeah, it is really relaxing. I want to do a bigger one next time.
Yeah, I only made one and I think I had enough materials to make more. I should have made more. But yeah, it'd be good. You're right, to make like a bigger one.
My sticks were quite dry. I need to go get, because I couldn't get up to the lake. Well, I could have gone if I'd wanted to, but I wanted to get on with it. So I just found some bit of drier sticks than I would have gone for. But I've got it above my door right now, so it's protecting my threshold.
Oh, lush. Yeah, mine's still on my altar until we swap stuff out for the next one.
Next one. But we have to remember to burn them next in bulk.
Yeah, you said that to me.
Yeah.
Oh, I like the idea of doing that. Yeah.
I was going to say, and also my housemate's little girl brought me this beautiful wild pink rose, which was a really nice thing to do for the first promise of spring.
Yeah, what have you been up to?
Work, but it's not the place for that. Like, I did do some magic last night. I was having a bit of drama and needed some power, so I've got this selenite charging plate on my altar where I store energy every time I work a ritual, and I just drew it all out last night. I just cashed out that energy, and it's sorted me out now.
That's really good. Again, it's using that magic for that self-care in a time of need, isn't it?
Exactly. What about you? How's your week been?
Yeah, it's been busy with work. I haven't done too many magic things, but tomorrow I'm super excited. So this witch that I follow on Instagram, Sacred Space Cornwall, I love that lady so much, but she does sessions that you normally pay for, like Reiki sessions and all sorts of stuff. Well, she's doing a free workshop tomorrow night that I signed up for.
Oh, wow.
It's to turn negative energy from 2020 into positive and step into 2021. And sort of, we've got to have a space to lie down with candles. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. Because she's very positive. So I'm, excited to do that. And it just seems like this weekend, we've sort of moved past a point because I've actually done stuff sort of this weekend for the first time in like a long time. So
curious. Like outside stuff or magic stuff?
Outside stuff. I need to bring more magic stuff into it. But well, I have done some magic, so I've started planning my witch's garden. So my seeds started to arrive. But so a little bit of social stuff. We did like a pub quiz Friday, and it's been a busy week, but nice things to do and look forward to. So that's good.
Oh, well, on the subject of planting, today we're going to talk about Ostara.
Yes. So we weren't really going to delve into another holiday for our second episode.
No, but then we realised.
Yeah, we realised it's close. And our original subject was, we weren't feeling it. So we thought, do you know what? We all need a bit of spring in our lives. We need something to look forward to.
now more than ever.
Yeah, exactly. So hopefully this episode will get you
spring
excited.
You into spring.
What a motto.
Boing. Yeah, so today we're going to talk about the pagan festival of Ostara. So Ostara is the vernal equinox. Now, I didn't know what vernal meant.
No, like, I don't.
It just means spring of or to do with spring.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And the start of spring, which is usually falls on the 20th or the 21st of March, is celebrated by many cultures the world over. But for witches, it relates to the Germanic goddess. She's a lunar goddess, and her name is Ostara or Erste. I can't do a German accent, sorry.
That was pretty good.
But her feast day falls on the full moon following the vernal equinox, which is the same as Easter, so another co-opted thing. And then, so the legend around the goddess Ostara says that she found an injured bird on the ground as she was walking.
Okay.
And it was late in the winter time. So in order to save its life, she turned it into a hare.
I don't know why that would save it. Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought you meant hare, and then I was like, that makes no sense.
Like a rabbit, hare. How do I say it?
Yeah, you're saying it right. I confuse myself, but it makes sense because there's a lot of symbolism in the hare on people's altars.
Mad marches, when they start rutting.
Oh, okay.
That's why they go mad, like they run around, they don't give a fuck, they're trying to get laid.
Fair enough.
So the goddess Ostara, she turns the bird into a hare, and then saved his life. I don't know why changing it from one form to another would save a life, but it did. But however, it still retained the ability to lay eggs, because it states in the legend that it is a he bird, he would decorate and then leave his little gifts around for the goddess Ostara.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's where we get the Easter rabbit from.
Well, actually, when I was doing my research for the next bit, and when I get to my bit, it involves a lot of eggs. Uh-huh. I was like, this is where they've got it from. The bastards, they steal everything.
They do. Nothing's new, babe. Everything is pastiche, honestly.
This was like, if you were a bird, even if you are dying, I don't know if I'd appreciate being turned into a rabbit. Are you less in danger as a hare?
Birds fly.
Yeah, that's what I'm on about.
Do you know what I would object to the most?
What?
Is that, like, even though I was a male bird and wouldn't lay eggs, as a male hare, I would have to shit out, because that's where it has to come from, shit out eggs because some goddess fucked with my trajectory, you know?
Maybe he's got an egg hole.
No, he's shitting them out, like.
No, maybe
he has got an egg hole. Actually, birds have the same thing, so maybe it's just this. Birds have one hole, don't they? God,
maybe
this has gone such down an alley already.
I know. Sorry, everybody. Maybe the egg comes the other way.
What, his mouth?
Yeah, like egg comes out.
But yeah, so that is the tale of the Easter rabbit. I refuse to say Easter bunny because I'm not American, like. However. There's a caveat to this ritual. So while the goddess Ostara is I think it's like Teutonic pantheons of gods, the only reference to this actual tale surrounding her comes from a contemporary source. I say contemporary, like turn of the century.
Okay.
It's the venerable Bede, he's called, but he's a Christian, unfortunately. But it's all like to do with the Brothers Grimm and those kind of tales.
Oh,
it's like Germanic folk tales that have been commercialized. So yeah, there's no ancient source for the Easter rabbit, but eggs are associated with it. So, like I said, many different faiths celebrate the start of spring. So in Judaism, they have Passover, and then in Iran, the spring equinox is the new start of the new year. And then there is a classical myth of Mithras. I won't go into it too much, but it's basically Jesus's story, but way before.
Okay.
Yeah. But the Romans had the goddess Cybele.
Yes.
It was her festival on the spring equinox, and she rode around in a chariot drawn by lions.
Now, if you were going to be in a chariot, that's what you'd want, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I feel like imagine, I don't know, is it Frey or Freak from the Norse mythology? She's got one done by a chariot drawn by cats, which I would prefer. Like, lions can kill you.
I don't know. I feel a bit bad. God,
though, I guess.
Are they mini cats? Like normal sized cats?
I don't know. They're god cats.
Maybe they're like lynx cats, you know, like big ones.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. It's quite powerful to be drawn by lions, isn't it?
I think so. And then there's a couple of Hindu goddesses that ride like lions or tigers as well. It's like bitches and big cats, like sexy.
We all like our cats.
But yeah, the Sibyl is a strange goddess as well. So she has a lover slash her son. It's not very clear from the myths. It seems like it's one of those like the goddess recycling a child and a lover thing. So his name was Attis, and he pissed her off by trying to marry a mortal woman. So she drove him insane and he castrated himself.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's not a good lover anymore, is he?
Mm. But then she just gives birth to another one, apparently. So
gives birth to him again?
Yeah, something like that.
Right.
Yeah, the Romans were a bit mad, like.
Yeah.
They led all their pipes, didn't they?
Yeah, they were mad.
But their myths are cool. There's a lot of castration in Roman myths.
There's a lot. If you go to Rome, there's a lot of penises everywhere. They used to put penises on the front doors.
Yeah, it was a fertility symbol. It was a triumphant symbol.
Yeah, and for
protection. They're like winged penises. They have like winged cocks everywhere.
Yeah, they had them. Oh, there's loads of stuff like that.
What are they called? They've got a specific name. I can't remember what it is now.
If you go to Pompeii as well, there's a brothel. If you go to the Pompeii Museum in Naples, they've got like these tiles, which are from a brothel. And they basically have like instructions on, well, like it's like a menu for the brothel. So you would point to each of the tiles. So they were very open like people. But yeah, they were a bit mad as well.
But that's the thing. I just think they weren't very, what's the word? I don't know, as restricted and inhibited as we are these days in some way. That's the phrase Roman orgy comes from, isn't it? You know, like sex was fun. It wasn't something taboo. Christians ruined it for everyone. What's the name of that? It's the name of one of the emperors, but it's also the name of a character that Keanu Reeves played. Constantine.
Yeah.
It's Constantine. Constantine, he was the one who switched the Roman Empire over to Christianity. What a douchebag. Sorry.
I'm not a big Keanu Reeves fan. I'm really sorry for people who've been.
Oh,
what? So I wouldn't have known that. But I like Constantine as a No, he's not a Marvel. Oh, God, Dave's going to kill me. He's a DC character. I like that character of Constantine.
Yeah, I like that one.
But I don't like...
like the Roman one.
I'm not into Keanu Reeves so much, so there we go.
Oh, babe, you're wrong.
Wow.
But yeah, so on the spring equinox, it is the first day of spring officially, and it's when the sun reaches its highest point, and it's halfway between sunrise and sunset, so we get days of equal light and dark.
Oh, lush.
And then sort of prehistoric peoples, they didn't understand the life cycles of animals and birds and insects. They were like too obscure for the ancient people to know about. So like every spring when life just started to appear from nowhere, they thought it was magic and spontaneous generation of new growth.
That's so lovely.
I know.
Because it is magic.
It is magic.
Like my front garden at the moment, I've got spring flowers and they've just appeared from nowhere. And there's been... We moved to our house in July and there's been no sign of those flowers or roots or a plant for months and months.
Ground.
And now they've come from, you know, nowhere. It is magic. I think so.
That's why they call it spring, babes.
Yeah. Spring from nowhere.
But yeah, so spring embodies a time of balance and equilibrium. And we think about the goddess who gave birth to the sun god at the winter solstice. when we're pagans, but like I said, it's a hodgepodge of all different traditions. But is the time to plant seeds? Looking at you, Amy.
Yeah.
Metaphorically and physically, and think about what we want to bring into bloom in the upcoming season. And it's the time to think about what we've achieved since the winter solstice.
Yeah, since we made our last sort of manifestations, because the winter solstice begins the year, doesn't it? So
mm-hmm. It's a new year.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, it's cool. But then it's mad though, because it's different in different pagan traditions. Because I was having a look at my Buckland's Book of Witchcraft. I don't really like him, but it's the first book I ever had, I think, because it was big and blue and had a huge pentagram. My teenage self was like, that one. He doesn't celebrate Ostara in Gardenian paganism.
Why is that?
Or Wicca. I don't know. He only does 6 Sabbaths, but I'm just like, I want 8. It's better. Holidays are better, babe. We need something to look forward to.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's my brief history as I've read it of Ostara.
Oh, I've written down a few ideas. I've got some spells here, but literally writing these things just brought me pure happiness because I'm so excited to do them.
I love spring. Yeah, I love it.
Me too. And I think for a lot of people, and especially a lot of people like listening, the big thing this year, we've had such a horrible winter, not just because of the weather, but because of the circumstances, that the things that we may do would have done in winter, we haven't done. Yeah. And it gets to a point, even for somebody, I love going outside, I love nature, I'm sick of it in this weather. So I think looking forward to spring and what that brings, whether that, you know, it brings this holiday, it brings better weather, longer days, but also for a lot of people, it could mean some easing of restrictions as well. So I think it's a good...
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, good bit to look forward to. That's in my mind. I'm aiming for that period. So The common term that you will all hear is a spring clean, and that's very much what is, say, an overarching theme for what you can do at Ostara. So the biggest thing I would say is you can begin with a declutter and the clearing out stuff you no longer need, because how you need to think of it is that everything holds an energy. So if you want to invite new energy, you need to make room for that energy.
Marie Kondo that shit.
Yes. Definitely. So with that, then I've got a magical cleansing detergent. So this is something you can put together again, just to use around your home as another sort of cleansing, what would you call it? Like a cleansing ingredient. Yeah, a cleansing potion. So the ingredients is you need sage essential oil, lavender essential oil.
Lavender.
A carrier oil. So I tend to use almond oil, and you can get it from lots of places. It's not expensive. And some hot water. And what you would do is you would just mix all those ingredients together, and you would use that like to wash down your surfaces as you do in your spring clean.
When people make their own cleaning products, Sue's used to do it, and it's just, I need to do it more. It's really nice. It's not that hard to do either. A lot of it's just vinegar and lemons and salt water.
Yeah, I use bicarb vinegar quite a lot. That's what most cleaning products are made out of, is bicarbonate vinegar, and it's a lot cheaper to do it. That will smell fantastic as well. You may find is after this period, so as you're coming into spring and after this downtime and hibernation, you may actually be rearing to go. So as you said, it's a time to like plant seeds of your manifestation and get ready to watch them grow. It's a great time to experiment, explore creative ideas and start projects and get yourself out there. So it is, like you said, they thought it was magical. This is your time to literally like spring into it. Like you've had your downtime, you know, you've looked after yourself over this period of darkness and coldness. And now you can sort of, you're recharged.
You're reborn.
Yeah, ready to get out there. So I've also got a ritual here. I've actually got two rituals. This one is, love this one. And this brings a little bit of, you could do this with your family. For me personally, I think this will be a nice thing to do, like with Thomas, my son. So ingredients wise, you need an orange or a yellow string or ribbon, flowers. They can just be flower petals and some leaves. A crystal, again, whatever crystal you want. Fruit and a pen and paper. So first part of this is you need to go and find your favorite tree. Now, I am a sado. I have favorite trees.
I have favorite trees.
Well, we're not sad then. That's fine. But
witches, babe. Witches have favorite trees. Tis a fact.
Well, I actually read a really interesting thing about why you as a person may have a favorite tree, or why you may be inclined to touch a certain tree. And that's because certain trees will have abilities to get rid of a certain energy, and trees vibrate, so they vibrate bad, they absorb and they vibrate bad energy out. So normally if you're attracted to a tree, that's a reason, is that it can do something for you.
Yeah, like when you crave something that you're missing in your diet.
Yes, like when people crave oranges and stuff all the time.
Like, do you know, you ever feel the need, you're like, I have to put my bare feet in the grass right now, I just have to.
Yes. Oh, and that's something actually I've got in my list further down, that they say during Ostara, if you can sort of really get down onto the ground and sort of get your toes in the grass, that's lovely to do. So you find your favorite tree. If it's blossoming or got buds on, even better. So using the item, so using your flowers, leaves, your crystal, your fruit, create yourself a little altar by the side of the tree. Aww. And then write out your intentions and your dreams or of adventures. And you need to bury it in the center of your altar. So it'd be good to have like a little
trowel,
yeah, here. So you just bury it in the center of your altar, and then you leave it there. So you take your crystal, of course, back, but leave the flowers and the fruit as like an offering to the tree. But before you leave, you need to tie your string around one of the tree branches 3 times. And then every time you pass that tree and see your string, you would know that wishes are on their way.
Oh, that's awesome.
So again, you want to not choose a tree that you never see ever again. That's why it's important that it's
a familiar tree.
Yeah, a tree that means a lot to you. We've got a tree in our front garden that they sort of cut huge chunks of the branches off when we moved in. But I feed birds from that tree, but also it started to grow new branches. And I can't wait to see what it looks like this summer. So I'll probably use that tree because, yeah, I want to keep it and I want to get, you know, healthier, and I want to look after that tree. So that's one ritual. And again, I think that's a nice one to embed with, like going for a walk and seeing what spring has brought, like all around you in your area.
I'm going to do that.
Yeah, it's lovely, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really nice.
I'm really excited for that one. And then another one I've got, which involves an egg.
Ooh, topical,
because you were talking about an egg. An egg ritual for welcoming creative energy into your life. So this will help you gain abundance, but also use fertile energy of nature and direct it into an area of your life where you could use a shot of productivity and creative energy. You would do this at your altar or a space where you feel comfortable, because not everybody has an altar, so that wherever you choose to do it, that's absolutely fine. This, you need something to start a flame, so matches or a lighter. You need a small pale green candle. Now it needs to be small, so like a tea light or a smaller candle, otherwise you'll see later in the spell you're going to be there a long time otherwise. One uncooked...
Don't use a pillar candle, you'll be there
all night. Yeah, you'll be there for ages. One uncooked coloured egg. So in the UK, like you were talking about that the rab, the hare used to leave decorated eggs. We don't really decorate eggs here in the UK.
Americans love it.
Yeah,
they
dye eggs. So what I gathered, there's loads of stuff online on how to like dye an egg, but you can dye your egg whatever colour you want, because certain colours, as we know in witchcraft, mean things.
Yeah, symbolic.
So look for your favourite colour, see what that symbolism means, and dye your egg that colour. If not, I'm sure an egg by itself will be fine. Then, some parchment or paper and a heat-proof dish. So if you've got a little cauldron, a little dish, that's fine. Whatever that's heat-proof that you can use to burn something in. So your altar, it's all set, ready for a starer, however you've done it. You're going to light the tea light or the small candle, and you're going to take your egg in your hands. This is when you're going to not smash the egg into a million pieces.
Just crush the egg.
I saw this thing that apparently if you give a child an egg, they won't smash it.
Egg, right? No. See how quickly
because they automatically, apparently, as humans, even if you don't recognize like an egg, you know that it's like really fragile and you're supposed to treat it carefully. I don't know how true that is, but you take your egg and you are going to say the following lines. So, maiden goddess of spring, light and life, youthful god of the sun, exuberant and joyful, bless this egg and fill it with the power of spring, of life, of fertile and creative energy. May my life be energized. Now, don't worry. There's a lot of, you know, all these things I've put down around a star. I'll share them on the Instagram page so you've got more instructions on how to do them. But I'm just giving you a little overview of what you can do. You'll then just set the egg next to the candle, and then using your pen and your parchment or paper, you would write on it the situation or to which you wish to direct that creative energy of spring to. It's for work purposes, for a project, or really you want that energy to project into that. So you'd write that on this piece of paper, and again, you'd hold the paper between your hands and you're going to empower it with your needs. So when you see a lot of stuff like this, it's almost like I talk it through in my head. You'll hear this, won't you, Kat? Like loads and stuff where it will say, you know, hold the object and manifest, put your manifestation into it.
Yeah, you're imagining putting energy into that egg.
Yeah. And this, you've put it into the egg and you're now going to put it into this paper. You're carefully then going to, you know, burn this piece of paper. So just touch the corner of the paper to the candle flame until it catches fire, and then drop it into your heat-proof dish. And you need to burn into ash. You need the candle to burn down completely. And let the egg rest beside the candle the whole time. So again, that's why you don't want to pillar candle, because
stinky egg.
Well, I don't think it'll cook the egg.
No, stinky, it'll go off the egg.
Oh yeah. Oh, sorry. I was like, why is it gonna smell?
You get one of those like 14-day candles.
Oh like. Yeah, yeah. Again, and not like an 8-hour tea light either, like.
Tea light.
Yeah, I have them.
What are they made of?
And they're just like, they're not very nice to look at actually, because they're like thicker.
Oh,
and they just burn like longer. When your candle is burnt out, you're going to take your egg and your bowl of ashes outdoors, and you're going to dig a hole in the ground. So again, place the egg in the hole and scatter the ashes over the top, and you're going to bury it carefully. So then the energy of the egg and the earth will slowly begin to infuse the parts, you know, the energy and the spring and the summer into your life, and direct it for what you asked for and what you energized it for. And yeah, that's my little egg ritual.
You're planting an eggy seed.
Yes. Again, it depends with that type of ritual. If you don't have anywhere to bury it, then
plant pot,
or
neighbor's garden.
Yeah, neighbor's garden. Or you can eat.
No, don't plant in your neighbor's garden. We're not saying you should trespass on anyone's land.
Like. Yeah, don't trespass. But again, with spells, alter them appropriately. If you feel you're not going to be able to do the egg part of this ritual, remove the egg and
do the candle, bury the ashes.
Bury the ashes and keep the ashes in a jar. And again, keep that somewhere that you can see it and you can reflect on. Alter it accordingly to what is accessible to you. Yeah.
Exactly. Do as you feel.
Exactly.
It was so hard when you said abundance earlier. I just wanted you to go abundance. I've been watching so much RuPaul recently.
I'm an episode behind on RuPaul. I started the episode with, and I'm sorry if this is already in your head, but bing bang bang.
Oh my god, sing, it's so amazing. Sing
song, ding dang dong.
Ding dang dong. UK it's fucking genius.
It is. And actually, I'm going to put this out there. Those four, they're my top four. They're my favourite in the competition.
Bimini is my favourite person that has ever lived. Like, I love Bimini. There's just everything about them is just... Oh,
I like all of them. Of those four, I do love Lawrence Cheney. He's just so funny.
I'm not quite sucking willies yet.
And they're just a cut above the rest, in my opinion. Those four, they're
the British one is so good.
Yeah, it was so. I'm really behind on the American ones. So I don't know anything, but yeah, the song's been in my head all week. But yes. And then the only other things, I'm sorry, I feel like I've been talking for ages. I guess that's the...
No, not at all.
I guess that's what the podcasting is, that you feel like you're talking for a long time. But I just got some like things you can decorate your altar with. Again, onto Instagram and search Ostara altars, because some of them are just... You've just never seen anything like it. They're beautiful.
I put the one on our Instagram of one that Jess made ages ago. Jess collected all these marble eggs.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, the one with the skull that was in our friend Anna's house like years ago when we had Ostara as a coven. Oh, I miss doing that. But yeah, those bitches can make a fucking beautiful altar, fair play.
Oh, that's lovely. And when you think of spring and you think of that, the Christian holiday Easter, that is literally the things that you would put on your altar. So pasta colours, decorative eggs. Again, you can purchase decorative eggs. As you said, you just had marble ones, but you can get some really like pretty ones, and wasteful because you can bring them out every year.
That's it. It's like having Christmas decorations, isn't
exactly.
It? You know, it's just like it's all your Halloween stuff. You know, it's just like, oh, it's this feast time now. It's time for another party. Bring up the party bells.
Yes. There's loads of other stuff. So honey and flowers. Kat talked about that.
Yeah, I always have loads of flowers on Ostara.
Oh, I've got loads of daffodils at the moment in my house.
Love
and
them.
They're bringing great happiness into my life. A hair. So if you've got like a hair picture or...
I feel like neither of us can say hair with a straight face now.
I'm so confused. Or I've actually ordered from Etsy I'll share it on the Instagram when it arrives. It's like a little Ostara kit and it's got like a little like silver hair, like charm. So I'm going to like put that on mine. Moss. I saw this great idea where somebody did Ostara in a jar and it was like a little glass tumbler and it had some moss in it. They put a tiny like hair, some lavender, and it was, again, just really pastely and pretty.
Adorable.
Rosebuds, if you've got dry rosebuds.
I'm drying out some roses right now, actually.
Oh, lush. I bought spice stand in the market before it closed for lockdown. And they do dry lavender and dry rosebuds. So I bought loads before Christmas.
Oh, I love those. The little tiny little dried out little buds.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I got some of them. They're good, nice in a bath as well. Very fancy.
Yeah, and that's what I'm going to do for this full moon. I'm going to take some salts and I'm going to put them all in a jar now ready for the full moon. So they should permeate it. Wreath. I like a wreath.
I love a wreath.
I find them just delightful. My parent,
fun to make.
Yes, if you, fun to make if you can make them. I saw somebody recently in my local area has a wreath on at the moment. It's beautiful, and they switch it for like autumn and like Christmas wreaths as well, and I just think they're so beautiful.
Do people are making wreaths though?
No.
Like when you're walking around, if you ever see a hubcap that's come off a car, you know, then plastic.
Oh, ones. Yeah.
So if you take the metal ring, like if you see one, to take the metal, like they're usually really dirty and greasy, but if you take the metal ring and then get a bit of craft wire or those sandwich bag twisty things.
Yes.
You can make a wreath so easy.
Wow. There we go, guys. You don't always have to, you know.
Nah, some street rats. Witch tips for you. Just pick it out with a skirt.
The urban witch at work. Exactly. That is. Rose quartz. Another way you can symbolize it is to balance, like Kat talked about, that it's the balance of night and day. So light and dark. Mm-hmm. So you can have the symbolizing of either a white or black candle. Well, both white and black candles. Or you can have a sun and a moon and moonstone as well. The altar. And then if you don't want to do any of that, the other things you can do just to celebrate it is you can bake, you can meditate outside, you can plant your garden, you can feed the birds, and you can have a herbal bath. Do whatever you want to do. My plan is I'm going to open all the windows and all the doors, and I'm just going to really try and bring spring into my home. Yes. And that's what
I think I'm going to do a deep clean the day before and then some sort of rebirthing ritual on the actual day is my and go outside. I want to go in the river, like as soon as it's a nice day, because Easter weekend's usually quite all right.
It was beautiful last year, wasn't it? Because that's when
I'm going to go in the river.
Oh, that will be really nice. Oh,
yeah.
It's actually like, as I said, researching this one just made me so excited for it. You just need this sunlight now to come. Bring some out, you know, do a bit of outside magic and, yeah, look forward to these nicer days.
Toes in the grass.
Toes in the grass, yeah. And just, well, I say feeding birds and stuff. My cat brought a robin home.
Oh, a dead one?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Huge robin, and he's never, it's awful, like he never catch in the summer he caught,
maybe he was already dead.
No,
though.
There was feathers everywhere.
Oh.
And in the summer he's obviously not very good at catching birds in the past, because he normally invades nests and he gets baby
Cosmo, what the
I know, it's awful, and he catches babies. So I never find, he never brings them in. I always find them in the garden, and because they're babies. They're like literally, you know, horrible.
Little pinkies.
They're horrible.
Like, yeah.
But this robin was a fully fledged, massive robin. And he didn't bring it for me. He brought it for my son, because he showed it to him. And luckily,
that's quite nice, really.
It was sweet.
He's accepting him into the family after 2 years.
I think it's, I don't know if anyone else listening, I take robins as very spiritual creatures. So in my family, we take them as a loved one that's no longer with us is represented by the robin. So normally in my family, we'll say a robin appears when somebody wants to give you a message. So I love robins for that reason. And we have a lot of robins where I live in my new house. So I take it as, oh, they're my loved ones. So when he brought me a robin, I was distraught.
Okay. Oh, like, no, you little bastard.
I know. So, yeah, that's what I've written down for Astara.
Nice. Oh, I'm so excited.
Yes, tell us, let us know what you're gonna do, or if you're gonna take any of these ideas. That is, I'll share these on the Instagram around when our episode's released, and close to Astara as well, so you'll have all the lists and you won't have to listen back to get ingredient lists or anything.
I was thinking I might do my second reel and maybe make some homemade moon water infused cleaning products to my do my big spring clean.
Lovely.
get in the corners.
Yes, do it.
Maybe that'll be my... reels are hard, like.
They are. Let us know what you thought of our reels. We did two. I did a full moon bath one, and then you did your...
Yours was good. Yours was amazing. The label maker was
awesome. Oh, I love my label maker. I know. There we go. But yeah, no, they are tricky. I found it tricky. It's not the easiest thing to make in the world. But if you liked our reels, let us know, because that seems to be what a lot of the other witch Instagram pages do, is make witchy reels instead of pictures. We know we need to step up our picture game as well.
We do need to step up, like. But yeah, let us know if there's anything particularly you want to see. But until we start doing more outside magic, it might be a bit blast from the past currently. But I have been working with some photographers to watch me doing my thing, like. But I was so funny, like, one photographer was just like, oh, can you show me, like, how you do your magic, like, how you get into, like, because I was talking about, like, oh, I was doing this ritual and stuff, and I was trying to think of, like, a polite way to say, oh, I really don't want to start wanking in front of you right now.
Oh dear.
I know, but that's all for the games, babe.
Yeah, it's part of the experimentation of magic.
Use this year to branch out into some more powerful shit, but it's been great, like, since doing this and having a bit more focus, and like, oh, we haven't thanked people, but thank you everyone who listened to episode one. We've been completely amazed by how many people have listened.
It's blown my mind, like, even the people who are, like, close to us, I didn't even expect them to listen to it, and so it's a massive shock that somebody... That so many
very pleasant surprise, yeah.
That so many people would listen to it. We've had some amazing shout outs and people that have shared us. So thank you so much.
Yeah, blessed be everyone. Thanks for getting on our loony fucking coven.
Should we thank in particular? I'm trying to think.
Oh, yes. I was jumping to the tarot cards then. So yeah, we particularly like to thank Max for doing our artwork.
Oh yeah, definitely, it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And business shared us, and she gave us the feedback that Kat really wanted. So Luna and Lex, she makes amazing candles and bath salts and wax melts, and they're in my basket ready to go to purchase. I'd be waiting for her coven candle to come back into stock. And nice. It just has, it's a massive, like, 3-wick candle. It's beautiful. But she gave us the shout out that she would love that it was a British witch podcast, and that she loved the Welsh accent. So thank you so much for that. That was literally Kat's number one objective.
That was, yeah, I was just like, I'm so glad people like that we're from the UK. But if you are another witch podcast from the UK, please come and join us, or let us join you. Come and share. Because the only other one I know about that's done by somebody in the UK is The History of Witchcraft, which, if you like, get a wide on for dry, historically informative podcast, then you'll fucking love it.
And there's literally, yeah, so much we want to do. We hope you join us, like, for the ride. And yeah, as we've just said, like, a million times, thank you so much. We've even had, like, great feedback from people, so
yeah, thank you everyone who gave us feedback. Oh, thank you, Chris.
Yeah, lovely, Chris. I miss you so much. I can't wait to see you and hang out again. He was really good with feedback before our podcast and was released and afterwards. So thank you so much, Chris, for that.
You're an absolute babe.
So we're going to draw a card.
Let me get my cards.
We're going to get into our meditation.
But to you, it'll seem like no time has passed at all.
That's the wonderful magic of Edton.
I'm ready.
You want to go first?
Yeah. Okay. I have got the 7 of Wands reversed. Oh, shit. I think think this may be.
I'm gonna cut this.
I have got. So I'm so bad with Roman numerals. I can't read them upside down. Right, 5, 6, 7. Okay. The 7 of Wands, which I feel like is not great. Okay, so. So this card is a card of self-reliance, success within reach, courage, and inner strength. However, because it's reversed, it means that I'm fucking hell. I'm holding on to situations that create tension and no longer serve me. Wow. Thanks for reading me, cards. what did you get, babes?
I have got the 8 of Wands.
Oh, weird. Reversed or?
No, normal.
Right, okay. So, adventure, change, success, movement, and news.
Ooh.
Focus on the task at hand and honour the time and dedication needed for its completion.
Oh, that's a good card.
And that's exactly what you plan to do anyway.
Yeah, that's my, we were talking before the podcast and like, I've had a good positive week, you know, we don't always have a lot of them at the moment, but I have some things I want to achieve and things I want to do. So I feel like that's my goal. That card has given me the extra oomph to go into next week with that goal.
Yep, and I need to stop stressing about things I have no control over.
Don't we all, though? Don't we all need to do that? I'm sure everybody can relate to that. Everything. Did you have anything else?
I think we did it, babes. We fucking did
it.
Yeah. Oh, we did say goodbye to everyone for joining us and learning about Ostara.
Thank you, witches. Bye-bye.
Bye. Blessed be. Bye. Bye-bye. Bing, bang, bong, sing, song, song.
Ding, dang, dong. Ding, dang, dong.